All right, guys, I guess you could say the perfect storm really is brewing. We're talking about another major weather disaster that's striking the United States. And then across the sea over in Europe, we've got the perfect storm that's brewing for a what all analysts and experts are saying is literally World War III. So we've got a lot to cover on today's podcast. You better buckle up because it looks like we're going to have a rough ride between now and January 20th. And God only knows what Donald Trump is going to have on his plate when he gets inaugurated as the 47th president.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? I'm glad you could join us today. It is Wednesday, November the 20th, and we welcome you to our midday update, our prophecy viewpoint. Again, this is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Of course, I'm your host, Ricky Scapero. Listen, guys, can you do me a favor? Hit that like button. That way other people can see our content. It'll push us out there on Rumble and YouTube. And take it a step further, hit that bell notification, hit that subscribe button, and then take it to the best way you can keep up with our ministry and everything that we put out. And don't rely on social media outlets, guys, because there's things that we will share that will exclusively be on our website and will not be on these social media outlets. So I want to encourage you to download our free app. It's available on Apple and Android devices. Get it today. Simply just type in End Time Headlines, look for our official trademarked ETH logo. You see it right there on your screen. And again, download it and hit yes to push notifications and you're going to be squared away. So here we are, on the follow-up of a major weather disaster that struck the Appalachians, leveling parts of North Carolina, howbeit Asheville, Chimney Creek, different locations in parts of, even parts of Tennessee, was struck by this. And again, North Carolina was just decimated. And here we are now, the West Coast is experiencing what's being called a once in a decade bomb cyclone. We want to get you up to date on that. We're going to cover that in just a second. And then, this is unbelievable, guys. We're going to talk about the conundrum in Europe, and it gets crazier and crazier. And crazy, sleepy Joe Biden continues. Now he's not only poking the bear, but it's almost as if he's now got a bat in his hand and a bow in the other hand, and he's now taking direct shots at Russia and at the bear. So this thing is getting rough. It's getting very tumultuous, to say the least, and it's going to be interesting to see where we go. So let's take you to the West Coast first, all right, where at least one individual has been declared dead and hundreds of thousands are without power as, quote, bomb cyclone slams Washington State and British Columbia.
Overnight, hurricane-force winds packing powerful gusts up to 80 miles an hour, wreaking havoc across the Northwest. The so-called bomb cyclone taking aim late Tuesday.
Oh, my God.
Knocking out power to more than 500,000 people in Northern California, Washington, and Oregon.
This is my street. It's literally fully dark.
Fire and rescue teams in Washington responding to down power lines and trees. One woman killed when a large tree fell on a homeless encampment, and two people were taken to the hospital after a tree fell on their trailer. While in California, an atmospheric river, a large plume of moisture, drenched the coast while turning to snow in the mountains.
It's going to bring some significant precipitation to portions of Northern California. We're talking rainfall totals 10 to 20 inches possible, with feet of snow, several feet of snow in the highest terrain. This is likely to result in significant flash flooding and landslides.
The storm system, one of the strongest to hit the West Coast in decades, is expected to last through Friday.
We got flashlights, batteries, water, canned goods. You know, I'm all stocked up. Because who knows, right? These are small roads. Anything could happen.
And again, if you're looking, and here's a picture of this on the radar, and you could see, look how massive this storm is. It literally looks like a hurricane, guys. And again, this is, they call this a bomb cyclone.
Believe it or not, the term bomb cyclone comes from a real meteorological term, bombogenesis. It describes a storm system that explodes in strength, specifically dropping by at least 24 millibars of pressure or more in the span of 24 hours. And this potent storm system tomorrow could do that and more. In fact, one of the weather models that we analyze expecting this storm to plunge by about 50 millibars or more between tonight and tomorrow. And why the focus on the pressure of a storm? Well, the bigger the pressure difference in different weather systems, the stronger the winds can be. Think of a powerful vacuum that's sucking all of the surrounding air into it. So what does this mean for us here in the Pacific Northwest? We are forecasting very forceful, very damaging easterly, southeasterly winds to develop Tuesday evening. Air will come gushing through the gaps of the Cascade Mountains, rushing off the coast and getting sucked into this low pressure system in the ocean. It's spinning counterclockwise.
This was one of the most intense on record for its location, a storm that occurs only about once every 10 years. Now, again, this is according to the National Weather Service in Medford, Oregon. So again, we'd love to hear your thoughts in the chat, in the comment section. Is this normal? Is this a quote winter event? Or what's going on here? Is this more judgment of God? Is this manufactured weather? Because you're going to see, now why did I bring up all that? Because you're going to see, when you read the comments, guys, you're going to see an entire plethora and diversity of opinions. You're going to get the camp that's going to say, well, this is normal. This is called winter. Then you're going to have this camp and say, well, this is the judgment of God. And then you're going to have this camp and say, this is weather modification, weather warfare. So again, we're going to give you the report. I find it intriguing. Again, this is literally it's less than 2 months from the last major weather disaster, which was a hurricane that did the unthinkable, a once in a lifetime. It was like once in 100 years that a hurricane would come up in the trajectory that it made and go up through the Appalachians and do what it did. And yet here you are, West Coast, getting slammed again with what is called a once in a decade bomb cyclone. Again, love to hear your thoughts on this. Now I'm going to shift gears. Let's go to Europe and talk about what's going on over there. Now, as you know, North Korea has now engaged itself in this war in Europe between Russia and Ukraine. I want to give you this headline. Look at this headline. Quote, North Korea has just moved the world a step closer to a global war. Wow, what a headline. It was revealed last month that 12,000 North Korean troops had been sent to Ukraine to fight on behalf of Russia. Now they are reported to have been deployed to Kursk as a part of the Russian counteroffensive. The reaction to these developments has been mixed. There were already indications that North Korea provided significant material to the Russian war effort, including 8 million rounds of 122-millimeter and 152-millimeter ammunition and a, quote, number of ballistic missiles. Again, these are according to figures from CSIS, but the deployment of soldiers apparently to assist the 50,000 Russian troops currently posted to retake Kursk from exhausted Ukrainian military units is a, quote, serious escalation. So according to this report from the Telegraph, these moves are pushing the world closer to a global war.
Clearly, it's no secret that our country is in chaos. The world is in chaos. What happened with Yemen and the missile strikes the last few days, Ukraine, Palestine. We don't even know where the Secretary of Defense is right now. Are we on the brink of World War III?
I think we're the closest that we've ever been And, you know, Joe, this won't be a regular war. This is not going to be, as I say, army tanks running back and forth, shooting each other. These are weapons of mass destruction, the likes of which nobody's ever seen. I've seen them. And this is obliteration. This is not a world war like we are used to. World War One, World War Two were terrible, horrible. This is so much bigger than that. This is, you know, like annihilation. And we have people that can't put two sentences together. Our president can't speak. He can't speak a full sentence. And he's negotiating with Putin, and he's negotiating with President Xi.
Now, I want to remind you, we're going to pull up an article because I want to show you this. Now, this is I want to show you the date of this article. Here it is. This is from Newsweek. Here is the headline. And again, I want to show you the date, November 12th, right? 2024. So that was 8 days ago that this was published. Now, look at this headline, quote, Russia issues ominous warning about undersea internet cables. Well, let's see what this warning was that was 8 days ago. An ally of Vladimir Putin, I want you to follow me very closely. This is very important that you pay attention to this because listen what he says here. An ally of Vladimir Putin has accused the U.S. and the United Kingdom of intending to sabotage underwater internet cables and planning to destabilize the maritime energy trade. Again, guys, this was published 8 days ago as of the recording of this podcast. A ally of Putin made a warning, and he actually accused both U.S. and U.K. of intending they were going to carry out a sabotage underwater attack against the internet cables in efforts to destabilize the maritime energy trade. Now, consequently, guess what just happened a couple days ago? The very thing that this individual warned was going to happen. But yet, we did hear the reports that it was a mystery on how this happened. They don't really know, but we've got an update. Now, before we do the update, let's go back to this article. Because again, I find this intriguing. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I smell a false flag, guys. I'm very concerned that there are sinister forces at hand that are pulling strings and continuing to provoke nations and leaders into propagating a war that we're going to get drug into before Trump even takes office. And it is escalating, guys. This thing is picking up speed quickly. Let's go back to this article. In reporting the comments by Nikolai Patrushev, the Telegram channel Crimean Win posted, quote, it would be funny, but such statements often sound like a cover for their own intentions. When contacted for comment, a British Foreign Office spokesperson told Newsweek on Tuesday, quote, we are not going to provide a running commentary on Russia's conspiracy theories. Well, guess what? It's not a conspiracy anymore. It happened. Citing U.S. officials, CNN reported in September that Russia was developing a sabotage unit with submarines and drones to target underwater infrastructure by order of the Defense Ministry's main Directorate for Deep Sea Research. So now let's just stop for a second. So here you have U.S. officials back in September that were accusing Russia of planning a sabotage unit that would take submarines and drones and go underwater and sabotage this infrastructure. And then 2 months later, you have an ally of Vladimir Putin that accused the United States and the United Kingdom of planning a sabotage attack on underwater internet cables, destabilizing the maritime energy trade. Now, this Patrushev guy, who, again, this is one of the allies of Putin, is considered one of the key drivers of Putin's full-scale invasion of Ukraine and served as the Secretary of Russia's Security Council before being moved to the position of Putin aide. He is also chairman of Russia's maritime board. This individual told a newspaper outlet that the U.S. and the United Kingdom were the ones that were behind the September 2022 attacks on the Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 gas pipelines, which are still shrouded in mystery and were, quote, planning others. Guys, let me know your thoughts. Who? Oh, and we're going to get ready to throw a curveball in just a second. Who do you think is behind the sabotage? Because we know this was not an accident. There was no earthquakes reported. There was nothing that could be of natural cause to disrupt this pipeline. If somebody was directly behind this. And I'm talking about the one, yes, of course, the one in September of 2022, but I'm talking about the one that just took place just 2 days ago. Who is the culprit? I'd love to hear your comments. Is it the West or is it Russia or is it somebody else? And I'll give you that somebody else in just a second, because I want to show you a report that came out this morning. This, again, it is an absolute circus what's going on right now. And we could sit back and we can laugh at this and we can chuckle, but this is very dangerous times, guys. They're pulling strings to orchestrate World War III. This is their end game. They want this to happen. And I believe this is all part of the agenda of the WEF. You know, the great, and you push the button on your computer when it freezes up. I'll let you figure out what I'm talking about. I believe this is all part of this plan. In the interview published on Monday, again, this was 8 days ago. Patrushev said American and British special services would have the equipment and personnel required to, quote, carry out such an operation as means to, quote, promote their economic interest. Now, a Swedish investigation found evidence of, quote, sabotage on the pipelines between Russia and Germany. Moscow had initially accused the U.S. probes by Sweden and Denmark were closed in February 2024 without identifying those responsible, although the German investigation is ongoing. German authorities had reportedly issued a European arrest warrant in June for a, quote, Ukrainian national suspected of sabotaging a pipeline along with two others using a yacht called Andromeda. But Patrushev said that the Ukrainian Navy had neither the equipment nor the trained specialists to carry out a deep sea terrorist attack, adding that, quote, only special forces units of NATO countries could carry out sabotage of this scale. Now, listen to this next part. He went on further to say, in the future, new infrastructure, including marine fiber optic cables that provide connectivity around the world, could, quote, come under attack. And the move would have the goal of sowing chaos in the global energy market, including by destabilizing maritime transportation. Wow, guys. Wow. All right. But the plot thickens. You ready for this? The plot thickens. Let me show you this headline. Quote, Chinese cargo ship suspected in sabotage of Baltic Sea cables. So now we have China that's pulled into this. What a shock. Quote, a Chinese registered vessel is under investigation by European authorities after it, quote, was detected in the area where the two critical data cables were severed in the Baltic Sea in a suspected act of sabotage. They're calling this an act of sabotage. And now they're saying that, again, a Chinese registered vessel is, quote, under investigation. The Yiping 3, which is a Chinese bulk carrier, was on its way from the Russian port of Yuzhlyga to Port Said in Egypt. According to Maritime Tracking Group, maritime traffic passing close to the Swedish, Lithuanian, and Finnish German cables about the time each was cut on Sunday and Monday. A Swedish public broadcaster, SVT, and several Finnish media outlets reported that two Danish Navy ships shadowed the ship as it sailed out of the Baltic Sea on Tuesday. Now, the four countries affected by these cuts are Finland, Germany, Lithuania, and Sweden have all launched investigations. And the report goes on to say that NATO members states, including Sweden and Finland, which joined after Russia's 2022 Ukraine invasion, have been on high alert after a series of attempted Russian sabotage attacks on the alliance this year, including arson in Germany. In September of 2022, a series of underwater blasts ruptured the Nord Stream pipelines that carried Russian gas to Europe. The latest probe comes a year after the anchor from another Chinese ship, the container vessel New Near Polar Bear, damaged a Baltic gas pipeline between Finland and Estonia. Now, the German defense minister said on Monday that the severing of these two fiber optic cables in 24 hours was likely to have been, quote, sabotage and was an act of hybrid warfare. Wow, guys. Quote, no one believes that these cables were cut accidentally. Therefore, we have to state, without knowing specifically who it came from, that it is a, quote, hybrid action. He went on further and said that we also have to assume, without knowing it yet, that it is sabotage. Now, of course, Chinese embassy in Stockholm told a newspaper that published this report that, quote, we do not have any information on this issue. Its embassy in Helsinki did not respond to a request for comment. The U.S. has accused China of offering direct support for Russia's war machine by supplying its military with items that were helping it in an invasion of Ukraine, but there has been little of any public discussion about the activity of Chinese ships in the Baltic Sea. So, as I said, guys, this thing is getting very, very tumultuous. It's getting interesting. It's getting concerning, and it's just continuing to escalate. Speaking of escalating, look at this headline. Joe Biden just approved anti-personnel mines for Ukraine, undoing his own policy.
CNN's Natasha Bertrand is standing by at the Pentagon with more now on the U.S. plan to give anti-personnel mines to Ukraine for the first time. Natasha, could you first start off by talking about what anti-personnel mines are, how they work, and how the U.S. is hoping that this could impact Ukraine's defense, its front lines?
Yeah, Emery, so these are different from the anti-tank mines that the Biden administration has been sending to Ukraine since the earliest days of the war. These are designed to essentially blunt the advances of personnel, of Russian troops. And the reason they are giving these mines to the Ukrainians now, according to Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, who just confirmed this news earlier today, is because the Russians have changed their tactics in recent weeks and months to lead with those personnel, with those troops, instead of those mechanized forces, tanks, for example, that they had been leading with before. So now, basically, the United States is trying to keep up with the Russians' changing tactics here by giving the Ukrainians these mines that can essentially stall these advances by these troops. Now, importantly, the U.S. says that these anti-personnel mines, they are different from the kinds of mines that the Russians are using, for example, in that they are battery-powered and they can become inert, basically, from a preset period. So basically, they can only last anywhere from 2 hours to 2 weeks, according to U.S. officials. And that, in turn, of course, would blunt the impact that they might have to civilians once the war ends, because that is one of the major concerns, of course, of human rights groups who say that these kinds of mines, they can really pose a threat to civilians who may come across them at a later date. And so the administration is saying, look, these kinds of mines are going to be only used in eastern Ukraine, not inside Russia. The Ukrainians have assured us that they are not going to be used in areas that are heavily populated by civilians. And importantly, they don't last that long, right? The battery will run out of them eventually. And so now the administration, in the waning days, of course, trying to give Ukraine everything that it needs and that it will need in order to fight off the Russians, who are making pretty significant advances.
But Natasha, these anti-personnel mines are controversial, right? There is an international treaty that bans the usage of them, although the U.S. is not a part of this treaty. Tell us more about the controversy surrounding it and why arms control groups object to this.
Yeah, so interestingly, the Biden administration is basically reversing its own policy here. The Trump administration, before the Biden folks, they had loosened the restrictions on anti-personnel mines. Biden, when he came into office, he reimposed those restrictions, saying that these actually need to be completely eliminated from U.S. stockpiles, and the use of them worldwide really needs to end. So the reason for that was because, of course, they could pose that risk to civilians, right? I mean, if civilians came across them later, if they did not explode, then the civilians who come across them could be maimed and injured. The Biden administration is now saying that they're accounting for that by sending this version, which the battery can run out and they won't last as long as, for example, a traditional landmine would, you know, for decades. So
when you scroll down here, it says that, quote, Biden has been reluctant to supply Ukraine with the mines in the face of concerns within his own administration and from a wide range of anti-mine advocates who say the risk to civilians is unacceptably high. But Russia's battlefield progress in recent months has, quote, forced the White House to find fresh ways to help Kyiv, especially following the victory of President Donald Trump, who has vowed to steer the conflict towards a swift conclusion. Now, guys, right there, that should tell you everything right there. Let me read that again and see if you pick up on what I picked up right there. Again, Joe Biden has been reluctant on supplying Ukraine with these type of mines in the face of concerns within his own administration and from a wide range of anti-mine advocates who say this is a risk to civilians and it's unacceptably high. But look at this next line here. But Russia's battlefield progress in recent months has forced, you hear me, the White House to find fresh ways to help Kyiv. Why? Because the victory of Donald Trump, who has vowed to steer the conflict towards a swift conclusion. Translation, Trump is about to come in January, and he's likely going to put an end to this nonsense. He's going to turn off the valve and shut off the financial hemorrhaging that taxpayers are funneling to Zelensky in Ukraine. So watch this. Biden and the White House are doing everything they can. Literally, at least to me, it looks like they are provoking this war. They are what we would call stirring the pot. They're wanting, it's almost as if they want a World War III. They want a conflict to break out directly between Russia and America. I don't know. Is it me? Let me know your thoughts in the comments. But I think that's very suspect, to be honest with you. Here's another concerning report. Ukraine has just fired British Storm Shadow missiles into Russia for the first time. Let me read this. Quote, Ukraine has used British-supplied Storm Shadow missiles in Russia for the first time. According to the Telegraph, they understand that residents in the village of Marino, Kursk, found fragments from a Storm Shadow missile on Wednesday. It comes after Joe Biden gave the green light for Ukraine to use long-range missiles inside Russia earlier this week. Kyiv used Atakams to strike a military facility in Bryansk early on Tuesday, and Putin responded by lowering the threshold for firing nuclear weapons at Ukraine and allies. So again, according to this report, it's not only America that is now supplying these weapons to Ukraine, and now Britain is supplying weapons to Ukraine. Again, the West, guys, is doing everything that Putin warned them not to do. If they wanted to provoke a nuclear war, then he told them all they had to do was step in and get directly involved. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what is happening. Meanwhile, did you guys hear the report about all the bottled water recalls? I don't know if you saw that, but amidst all the other recalls, you had all these bottled waters and food recalls and this and that. Now, I found some information that was alarming, to say the least. I want to show you this article. Quote, 300 drinking water systems in the United States has been exposed to disruptive and damaging hacker attacks. What? The EPA flagged security vulnerabilities in more than 300 drinking water systems that serve roughly 110 million individuals. Again, this was according to a new report from the Environmental Protection Agency, or the EPA, the Office of Inspector General. A passive assessment of security defects in 1,062 drinking water systems that serve over 193 million individuals has revealed that a quarter of them could potentially fall victim to attacks, leading to functionality loss, denial of service conditions, and customer information compromise. Again, this report indicates that 9% of the public drinking water systems it scanned last month had critical or high priority cybersecurity vulnerabilities. Quote, this critical infrastructure sector faces various threats from cyber attack, theft, vandalism, and other risks that can affect public health and leave communities vulnerable to the loss of clean water. This challenge is not hypothetical. He went on to say that, quote, recent high-profile incidents at water systems have demonstrated the urgency need to address cybersecurity weaknesses and vulnerabilities to physical attacks. Quote, if malicious actors exploited the cybersecurity vulnerabilities we identified in our passive assessment, they could, quote, disrupt service or cause irreparable physical damage to drinking water infrastructures. So, guys, this is a major thing here. Again, and the Homeland Security, the CIA, they've all been warning that our entire infrastructure is at risk. And now, again, these new reports are indicating that our drinking water, our the infrastructure that we have for clean drinking water is now at major risk. What was it? Over 100 and something million individuals could be at risk if a cyber attack was to be carried out. So guys, listen, we wanted to give you this quick update today. Again, this is our 2 p.m. prophecy viewpoint. You know, we always leave you with Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see all of these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. We don't share this information to scare you or frighten you or give you anxiety or worry or fear-mongering or hyperbole. No, this is to inform you so that you prepare accordingly. It is the ball is in your court, what you do with the information. We relay the information. You have to decide what you're going to do with it. To prepare accordingly would be wise. Prepare spiritually, prepare physically, prepare financially, prepare your families. And again, this is just practical speaking, guys. This is just practical advice because I have a feeling that things are going to get very rough. And again, what did we talk about today? Let's recap this. Weather disasters are only going to intensify. And again, it doesn't matter. We could sit here and argue all day who is behind it and who's pulling the strings. You could say, well, it's God's judgment. Okay, well, let's go with God's judgment. If it's God's judgment, I can tell you right now that it's only going to intensify. It's only going to increase. And the only reason, guys, why we're not seeing entire cities wiped off the map is because we're under the dispensation of grace. Once that dispensation ends, Jesus refers to this as the end of the age. Once that takes place and the church is removed from the equation, the restrainer, then those judgments will then transition and shift into the wrath of God, which will transpire during the tribulation. So this is only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. Number two, well, we could say, all right, Brother Ricky, it is natural. Well, if you go with natural, these are, you know, these weather disasters are natural occurrences, then you are basically agreeing with the mainstream media and the narrative that this is all caused by the CC word that they always use, that is the culprit behind all of it, that it's the result of man and the intensification of the heat's going to intensify. The storms are going to only amp up. So you're basically partnering with that notion and that agreement. Okay, then you got this other camp. And if that's the case, according to them, again, I'm not saying I agree with their assessment, but if you're going to go with that, then they're telling you the planet's going to get hotter. We're going to have more deadly winters. We're going to have more greater record rainfalls and floods, and the hurricanes are only going to intensify. The tornadoes are going to only intensify. The earthquakes are only going to intensify. All these disasters are going to intensify. Now, they call it the CC word. I call it birth pangs. I call it the birth pangs of the Messiah. Matthew 24, Romans 8, Luke 21. Now, if we go with the camp of, well, Brother Ricky, I don't think it's natural, and I don't think it's the hand of God. I think it's weather warfare. It's weather modification. Well, that's only going to intensify and increase as well. Now, how can I say that? Because, I can pull up an article, but I don't want to do that. Well, we may talk about this later, but there's what's called cloud seeding, and they're using AI now to perform these tasks. They're using AI to be able to generate, and I dare say create, certain types of atmospheric disturbances and weather patterns to benefit them. And I use, and I'm going to use quotation mark, to benefit them, or should I say a quote, to promote their agenda. And if you go with that camp, well, guess what, guys? That's only going to get worse as well. So in case you missed it, the common denominator between all three camps, God's judgment, natural modification, none of these are going to get any better. They're only going to get worse. They're only going to intensify. They're only going to increase. Therefore, watch this. You know what that does? It brings us back to this assessment, and that is, we have a responsibility as believers. The proverb says, a prudent man sees judgment coming. A prudent man sees disaster coming. A prudent man sees something coming, and he prepares accordingly. Joseph saw a famine coming to Egypt. Not only did Joseph see it, but Pharaoh saw it. In fact, Pharaoh, who wasn't even serving God, had no relationship with God, no covenant with God. God revealed to him first. And then when he pulled Joseph in, who he knew had a relationship with God, spoke to Joseph and said, hey, what is this? What does this mean? And Joseph gave him the interpretation of the dream and said, look, everything's good right now. We're in 7 years of plenty. Oh, come on. Let me use this in modern vernacular. The stock market's good. Jobs are increasing. We've got food on the table. Everybody's happy. Happy days are here. Everything is great. We're prospering. We're getting our rains. We're getting the seasons like there are. Everything is great. But then he says, but, oh, Pharaoh, something's coming down the pike 7 years from now. It may not, don't look for it to happen next year or next month or 6 weeks from now or 3 years from now. He said in 7 years, he said there's coming a shift and a change. And when that takes place, he said all the good you see here is going to dry up. Famine's coming. So you need to be prepared. This is what he told him. This is what your Bible says in the book of Genesis. Here's what you do. And he gives him specific instructions on how to prepare for what was coming. So you're going to tell me, you're going to look at me and tell me, well, Brother Ricky, I don't think I need to prepare for anything because God's got this. Listen, that is a very reckless thought, because here's the deal. Does God provide? Yes. Yes, he provides. But when you use all the illustrations of God's provision, like Elijah when he was at the brook and the brook dried up, That was out of Elijah's hands. He had no way to prepare for that. That was something he did. It was unforeseen. He didn't see that coming. And when the brook dried up, God supernaturally provided the ravens to feed him. But in this case, come on, are you hearing me? In this case, God revealed to Pharaoh and Joseph what was coming. Listen, I believe, can I speak? I rarely do this, guys, and you know me, I rarely do this, but I believe we're in the hour where in which the watchmen are going to, God's going to put the spotlight on the watchmen, the prophets. Yes, there's real prophets in the earth, people who hear from God, dreams, visions, spending time with God. God speaks to them. By the way, that's all scripture. John says that when the Spirit of God comes, it talks about the Paracletos, the Comforter, says he will show you things to come, future tense. I believe the hour is now when the world is looking for answers. What's coming? How do we prepare? What do we do? What do we not do? How do we do this? Do we do that? Do we not? And they're looking for watchmen and people who hear from God, who is going to direct them by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. So if you're asking me and you're looking to me for direction, you know what I'm going to tell you? Get in your prayer closet. Spend time with God. Get in intercession. Get in your devotional time. Get in the Word of God. It's going to speak to you. Anything I tell you is not going to contradict the Word. And if it did, I'd be a false prophet. And so would anybody else behind that camera or anybody else out there that's telling you things that are, again, that is not found in Scripture and cannot be backed up in Scripture. So I'm trying to tell you, friends, that by all projections, everything that's happening right now has been foretold by the prophets. It's been echoed by the apostles, and it's been relayed through Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us all this stuff is going to happen. And it's only going to get worse no matter how you slice this pie and whatever camp that you're in. So again, it is up to us to prepare accordingly, whatever that looks like for you. Whatever that looks like, because not all of us have the same resources. And again, this, my friend, is where the supernatural steps in and God will provide. So for the individual who literally is living check by check and they can't afford to get extra water, or extra food, or extra non-perishable canned goods or this or that, and prepare, and I'm just saying on a basis of food and preparation of water, and they don't have the extra means to do that, that's where, my friend, that I believe that God will and can supernaturally come in like he did with Elijah and provide whatever that looks like, whether it's somebody showing up at the door or they get an unexpected check in the mail or some blessing comes to them. That's where you have to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, if you're physically able, financially able, you have the means to do so, you should be prepared and you should have a little bit extra on hand so that you can bless others, because God never prospers anybody without the intent for them to be, come on, to be blessed, to be a blessing. Are you hearing me? That's a whole other study right there. But guys, listen, we're going to sign off for today. I hope this has been informative to you. And if you like this kind of content, you like more, and you like to be blessed more by our ministry, again, don't forget to download our free app today. Apple, Android, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go. You're going to be squared away. And as always, guys, we'd love for you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can support us electronically through the app or through the main website or right there on YouTube up at the top where it says support in bold letters. It's pinned to the top. You can click there, and that's a way you can donate also or support or partner with us. You can also give by check or money order at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. So guys, real quick announcement, just in case you forgot, it is Wednesday. Therefore, we will not be broadcasting tonight at 8 p.m. Okay, so there'll be no Wednesday night service tonight. And we'll be back here tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern. And then, Lord willing, be back tomorrow evening, 8 p.m. Eastern. So, and we're going to do that tomorrow. We're going to do that Friday. And then we plan on coming Saturday with one program. And then we will be off Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So 6 days, there will be no broadcast as we are flying out to be with family in Thanksgiving in Virginia. So so Saturday, what we're going to do is we're going to come on here, and whatever we talk about, we'll pray a blessing over everyone that's planning on traveling out, and even those who are leaving before next week or whatnot, we'll pray you out and pray the Lord's blessing and his protection upon you. So guys, listen, we're going to sign off for tonight. It's been great being with you guys on this Wednesday afternoon. We will see you guys, Lord willing, right here, same time, same place, same channel, tomorrow on Thursday, November 21st, 2 p.m. Eastern, with our Prophecy Viewpoint. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.